We'll do it live!
Fuck it!
Just imagine it. You're treading water in the middle of the South Pacific. You're at Point Nemo. It's known as the loneliest place on Earth. So lonely, in fact, it's part of the ocean that the space agencies use to decommission space stations and satellites by crashing them into the sea and letting them sink to their watery grave, 13,120 feet below the surface. This is where you are, alone in the middle of the ocean. You tread water in the center of your current situation with nothing but water and sky around you, like an oceanic purgatory. This is also the location of Rie, the home of Cthulhu, or at least that's what H.P. Lovecraft said. Cthulhu's probably down there, somewhere. He may be right underneath you, ready to pop up right beside you, only to drag you down to one of the deepest, darkest places on Earth. It might not be so bad, though. I mean, how many people can say they share a gravesite with hundreds of spacecraft? How long can you tread water? It's not like being in the deep end of the pool where you can submerge to the bottom and pop back up to the surface. There's 2.5 miles of water between you and the ocean floor. There could be anything down there. A megalodon that would swallow you whole and not even know it. Perhaps a giant squid with 50-foot tentacles that's starting to get hungry. The worst would be the thing that you don't know what it is. Something never seen before by human eyes. Something massive. Something that would live in solitude. Something would call darkness home and feeding on blood a way of life. It's got to be right there, right under your foot. It can see you from about 10 feet below the surface and has been circling you for about a minute without you knowing. Wake up. Your mind's playing tricks on you again. There's nothing down there except water and half-cooked satellites. I mean, there can't possibly be anything down there, right? Right? There's no fish, no predators, no circle of life. The only circle here is the South Pacific Gyre. If you float long enough, maybe it'll bring you to Chile. There's got to be something down there. With nothing but floating plastic and interstellar aluminum to munch on, it's probably hungry. And close. How long can you tread water? Getting tired yet? You're going to have to pick a direction to start swimming in eventually. There's Ducey Island and Easter Island to the north. Don't miss them, otherwise you'll be swimming another couple thousand or so miles to Hawaii. You could swim south to Antarctica, but why bother? Wellington, New Zealand is only a short 2,980 miles to the west. Concepcion, Chile isn't but 2,624 miles to the east. Gyre isn't going to help you to get to the islands or Antarctica. Guess you better start swimming for New Zealand. You're only going to be swimming the distance from Boston to Las Vegas. How hard could it be? Are you getting tired yet? Maybe too tired to think about that undiscovered oceanic abomination that's been sitting just under the surface, watching you get tired, waiting for the right moment? Where does it have to be? It has nothing but time. Time doesn't exist in its world, only the moment. And you are the moment. No. No way. There's nothing down there. Living or otherwise. You really should start swimming, though. It's going to be dark in a few hours. If If only you had a diver's mask to take a peek under the surface, just to see what's there. Just to take a look at the vast expanse of nothing, only to stare into the abyss. The abyss. The abyss. The abyss. Good evening and welcome to the Cosmic Highway Patrol. I am your host, Matt Chouinard. Thank you for joining me. Tonight, we're headed to the high seas. Well, sort of. We're going to explore one of the deepest, darkest fears of mankind. For about as long as deep water darkness and mankind have coexisted, thalassophobia has always been the proverbial sea monster ascending from the deep. You can't see it, but it can see you. Kind of like the Jaws movie poster. Remember that one? How about the movie poster for The Meg? I'll post both these on the Instagram page, or Google them. Just look at those posters and tell me how the hell anyone swims in the ocean, ever. I have. I've been in the Atlantic, Pacific, lakes, rivers, streams, and swimming pools. I jumped off a South Point in Hawaii in 2018. It's a 60-foot drop off a volcanic cliff into the Pacific. It was awesome. I'm glad I did it. I stood out on this wood structure, kind of like a plank and an arch. I remember psyching myself up, standing on the edge. The only thing I could think of was, I'm looking straight ahead right now. The only thing between me and Antarctica is thousands of miles of the Pacific unknown. Where's the sharks? There's gotta be sharks. It's the Pacific. Probably great whites. I came all this way, didn't want to chicken out, so I jumped. Once I came to the surface, I looked up at this volcanic cliff, blue water, and what looked to be like a cave on the side, and a big rusty ladder going all the way back up to the top. So as I'm down there treading water, I'm thinking, what is in the water right now? Is there anything in the water? So after treading water for a bit, the adrenaline rush went and subsided. I swam over to the ladder and climbed all the way up, thinking about how I conquered a fear. Well, several, but once I got up to the top and dried off, I see some of the local kids. I guess they must do this often. They're hanging out. One of them goes and climbs up to the top of the arch and does a backflip off into the water. Well, I guess he must be used to it or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I have swam in the canals in Satellite Beach, in the murky lakes and ponds in New Hampshire, and swimming pools. Every single time, the picture emblazoned square in the back of my mind is the Jaws movie poster. I don't think I'm the only one this happens to either, but it's all psychological. A phobia is defined as an extreme or irrational fear or aversion to something. While doing the research on this episode, I found the endless list of phobias, most of which I didn't even know existed, such as phobophobia, a fear of phobias or being afraid. I don't know. Sounds kind of like a vicious cycle to me. We all know someone with ophidophobia, acrophobia, or claustrophobia, which are fear of snakes, heights, and enclosed spaces, respectively. But what about the triskaidekaphobiacs, who have a fear of the number 13? Every phobia has an explanation, I suppose. Aquaphobia is the fear of water, whether it be showering in it, being splashed by it, or drinking it, meaning it's the fear of water itself. Thalassophobia is a little different. Meaning sea fear in Greek, it is defined as an intense fear of large, deep, and expansive bodies of water such as lakes, seas, and oceans. To this day, it still boggles my mind just how vast and expansive the ocean is in comparison to us. 71% of the Earth is covered by the oceans.
less than 10% has been explored. 50 to 80% of all life lives in the ocean, with unknown and undiscovered species numbering in the millions. We may never really know what is down there. With thalassophobia, the sheer immensity, the darkness, the unknown in every direction except up. Like with any phobia, there are many causes, ranging from past experience to brain chemistry, and some even theorize genetics may play a part in the irrational fears and anxieties caused by harmless objects and situations. For me, it was the Jaws poster. That's it. That's all I needed to keep me out of the ocean for the better part of 5 years. When I was probably about 7 or 8, me and my dad went fishing with my uncle and my cousin on my uncle's boat. It was a clear summer day off of Rockport, Massachusetts. The fear really didn't kick in until we got up to speed over some waves. I refused to hold on to the grab rail, thinking the moment I do, a shark was going to jump up and bite my hand. I subsequently busted my nose open on the bow after we hit a wave. Not my proudest moment. In my defense, there were sharks out there that day. Depending on if you ask me or my dad caught a sand shark. A small one, but a shark. So was this fear rational? Absolutely not. I had a greater likelihood of winning the lottery as a second grader than being attacked by a shark on the deck of a moving boat. Seriously, I blame Jaws. The fear was real, like at any moment a shark could and would actually do that. Luckily, as an adult, I've spent a lot of time swimming in the ocean and rivers here in Brevard and been able to move past it. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. If it affects you, all I have to say is, believe me, I get it. Submechanophobia is something different altogether, but similar in a way. Submechanophobia is the fear of submerged, or partially submerged, man-made objects such as shipwrecks, cars sunk into the lake or river, or even submerged statues people made and placed underwater for divers to look at. Like the life-size Jason Voorhees doll sitting 120 feet down at the bottom of a mine pit in Crosby, Minnesota, for instance. I'll post a pic on the Instagram of this thing. I love Friday the 13th, and Jason Voorhees is my favorite slasher flick character. But no, I'm all set with ever seeing this. Built and planted by diver Doug Klein in 2013, the likeness of Jason was made of foam 2x4s bubble wrap chained to the bottom of the pit. 5 years later, he posted a video on YouTube, and somehow it looks even creepier. I think some of the best examples of submechanophobia are plane wrecks and submerged ship propellers. I mean, what do you think? Seriously. I've never been in a plane crashing into the ocean, only to find myself securely fastened in 17B thousands of feet below the surface, nor have I ever seen a ship's propeller in real life. But the sight of both, for me personally, is, well, shall we say, disturbing. I have no reason to be creeped out by any of this, and can't really explain it, can you? Explanations vary from our senses seeing something that clearly doesn't belong in an underwater environment, something that had life at one point and is now a man-made corpse laying at the bottom of the ocean, lake, or river. These things can range from ships, boats, planes, cars, tanks, and helicopters. These are all objects that have at one point contained people. Where are the people? Did they make it out? Are they still there now? Oftentimes, with these underwater wrecks, it's dark. You can only see a portion of the object. The rest usually fades into the murky background, into the darkness, into the unknown. These things were alive once. They look as though they could be alive again. Would you swim next to a cargo ship in the middle of the ocean? With scuba gear, would you swim from the bulbous bow to the propeller at the stern? In spite of the fact that the ship is still in working order, there is still something very off-putting about an object that doesn't appear in an environment that our mind subconsciously expects it to be in. If you can swim through dock pilings and grab the first buoy you swim up to, this explanation description clearly isn't for you. It all boils down to the unknown, or the primordial fear of what we don't know or we clearly can't see. Ultimately, I think this is where a lot of these phobias come from, especially with submechanophobia. But then again, nobody has ever died from a shipwreck or a plane crashing into the ocean, right? The term megalohydrothalassophobia ties all these together, and then some. Fear of the vast, empty ocean. The darkness below you that you can't see. The giants swimming in the ocean because, well, that's where they live. Be it sharks, starfish, or blue whales, life is abundant in the Earth's oceans. The Earth as we know it is 71% covered by the ocean. It's vast and expansive. It'll seem like it goes on and on forever, like a watery, unexplored universe, which it is. But you will always get to land eventually. Who's afraid of the land? Perhaps an agoraphobic, someone who experiences anxiety from open areas or crowds on terra firma. Or perhaps an agrizoophobic, someone who has a fear of wild animals. I think being attacked by a Bengal tiger or a grizzly would be far worse than getting attacked by an orca or a great white, based solely on the fact that you can see him coming. It's very much the same in the ocean. There's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide. But in the ocean, it's dark and you don't see it coming. So let's get into where it all started for me and many of you listening, I'm sure. I'm talking, of course, about the shark, the movie, the legend, Jaws. Directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss, and Robert Shaw, this movie unintentionally became a hair-raising psychological thriller in the likes of Alfred Hitchcock, rather than the blood-soaked slasher flick it was meant to be. Shot in Martha's Vineyard starting in May of 1974, this location was chosen for the sandy ocean floor that doesn't get any deeper than 35 feet for about 12 miles offshore. This allowed easier usage of the mock-up sharks without land in sight. Three pneumatically powered mechanical sharks were used, built by the same guy who made the giant squid in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. One shark had a left side missing, one had the right side missing, and the other had the bottom missing. All three were a problem almost from the start of production. Everything from corrosion to the shark skin swelling up like a balloon when it went in the water, to parts breaking because of water resistance. Because of these constant mechanical failures of the Bruce, or Bruces as it was affectionately known as, was forced to keep the actual shark mock-up hidden, leaving its appearance to the audience's imagination, inadvertently poking at the part of the psyche most viewers didn't even know was there, kind of like a psychological shark attack, if you will. This movie holds up, too. That is, of course, if you can get past the clearly man-made shark. Between the USS Indianapolis monologue or the line,
"You're gonna need a bigger boat."
It's entertaining. But at least for me, it sparked something I didn't know was there. A true feeling of being small in an unnatural environment, where everything is dark and unknown, with certain death swimming just under your foot as you tread water, just hovering in the vast expanse. There are many imitations, and few are any good at initiating immediate dread the moment you take a plunge, quite like Jaws did. However, I did recently see one that makes the number two spot for me personally as far as whether or not I ever want to see a great white up close. That movie was called 47 Meters Down. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who may want to see it, but let's just say If you find yourself in dark water surrounded by incredibly aggressive great whites, refrain from lighting off an underwater flare and just keep swimming up. Sometimes it's best not to see what's out there. 47 meters down is the worst nightmare for a megalohydrothalassophobic. The last two-thirds are incredibly intense. I liked it. But still, while countless imitations have been made over the years, Jaws will always be the number one movie keeping people out of the water since 1975. A bit of a true crime tie-in, though. With Jaws, anyway. There's A Lady of the Dunes. It's speculated that a Jaws extra could be the unidentified murder victim known as the Lady of the Dunes. Officially identified as Ruth Marie Terry, 37, from Tennessee, by the FBI on Halloween 2022, has gone unidentified since July 26, 1974. It's speculated she is one of the extras in the 4th of July tourist arrival scene, wearing a blue bandana, Wranglers bearing a remarkable similarity to the victim. She was found in Provincetown, Massachusetts, naked, nearly decapitated, and missing two hands and a forearm. She was laying on a beach towel along with a blue bandana and Wranglers. To this day, the case is still unsolved, with the suspects ranging from her husband to Whitey Bulger to the serial killer Haddon Clark. Unfortunately, I don't think this one will ever be solved. So what do you think? Does the idea of jumping into the ocean, miles from land, make your skin crawl like you're living in a waking nightmare? Or are you past that? Knowing full well the likelihood of being attacked by a shark far exceeds the odds of being struck by lightning. Let me know, cosmichighwaypatrol@gmail.com or cosmichighwaypatrol on Instagram. This one was a fun one. It was fun to go and look at all the pictures, all the sea monsters, the deep, dark caverns under the water, shipwrecks, plane wrecks, people diving into the abyss. Next week, I'm going to be covering AI, deepfakes, and technology that governments and militaries have had for years that are just now becoming a part of everyday life for the rest of us. I'm really looking forward to this one. I've always been fascinated by technology of the past, oftentimes asking, how'd they think to come up with that? Should be fun. I think that just about does it for me. Taillights and tire smoke, I'm out of here. Good night, take care.